Don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Yes, I'm an angel. I'm an angel. The name is Gabriel. Most people call me Gabe. And I know I probably don't look like what you imagine an angel to be, but you got to know we come in all sizes and all shapes. And I got to tell you, over these last few stressful centuries, we angels have learned to appear in ways that are far less likely to cause people to keel over in fear. And if you're wondering, yes, I'm that same angel Gabriel that appeared to Mary some 2,000 plus years ago. And that's specifically why God sent me and not some other angel to you this night. The night we celebrate the birth of his son, the Messiah, his coming into the world. And you know, that explains why you probably can't see my halo, especially those of you in the back pews. Because you see, every year, as we approach the celebration of the one who came as the light of the world, my halo grows dimmer in comparison. But back to why God sent me. Because I didn't want you to think I'm just winging this on my own. No, God sent me because your pastor's been preaching a series called Do You Hear What I Hear? The understanding is to hear what God is saying through the birth of his son Jesus. So that's why he sent me. Because he knows far too many in the world don't hear him speaking. For example, does the name Ricky Bobby mean anything to you? He's the name of the character that Will Ferrell plays in the movie Talladega Nights. You may remember the scene, if you saw the movie, where his wife asks him to pray. And he starts to pray to who he called the Christmas Jesus. She quickly points out, you know, he did grow up. But he said, no. I like the Christmas Jesus best. And he began to pray. He said, dear 8-pound, 6-ounce newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet. Just a little infant, so cuddly, and yet still omnipotent. Thank you for all your power. Thank you for all your grace, dear baby God. Amen. Now, regardless of whether you laugh, chuckle, or just shake your head at Will Ferrell's prayer, at least he got one thing right. That Jesus came as God. He was and is God. Because far too many people miss that. All they want is a Christmas Jesus. To them, singing, away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. That to them is just a myth. It's a tradition. No greater than that of Santa Claus. No, the idea that a child could ever be born that was announced by a sky full of angels. But he was born in a stable. And yet these magi came and visited him with costly gifts. I mean, that to them is just a legend. Nothing more. Maybe a good excuse for their gift giving, for their partying, for having the grandkids visit. And of course, there's some that just want a Christmas Jesus because they're afraid if they encounter the real Jesus, it may cause them to change the plans that they have for their lives. And still others, they just want a Christmas Jesus because if they haven't met the real one, well, following him, well, they don't see it as a lot of fun. They just believe it's just going to be a lot of just following rules. So God sent me to make sure that you understand that what I said to Mary that night some 2,000 years ago, the message I gave her is a message for you. A message for you. You know, since I live in eternity, that seems like it was just the other day for me. Yeah. But it was such an important message that God had Dr. Luke record it, his gospel. The passage you just heard from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Where I remember it just like it was yesterday. Coming to Mary in verse 28, I greeted her saying, greetings, you who are highly favored. Some versions of Scripture say, favored one, the Lord is with you. In this is one of God's greatest promises. Because what it says is that you have God's favor in Jesus. In Jesus, you have God's favor. Because as nice as Mary was, I gotta tell you, there's nothing special about her. Nothing extraordinary. I mean, if you ever met her parents, you know that she didn't have two denarii to rub together. She didn't have a college education. She had no royal blood. There was no good reason for God to choose her over any other faithful young maiden. Yet God chose her. He chose her. He had me greet her as the highly favored. Now, those are words that can also be translated as the graced one. That's why there's another faith tradition that's always saying, Hail Mary, full of grace. Well, this is where it comes from. Graced. In verse 30, I reminded her. I repeated it. I said, Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. God sent me to bless her with an amazing gift. His grace. A sense of his overwhelming love and acceptance for her, just the way she was. Just the way she was. God wanted her to know. He looked upon her as his friend. As his friend. She didn't need to worry about God zapping her for the way that she lived her life. And it made all the difference. It made all the difference. Just as it did with Martin Luther. No, not Lex Luthor, the enemy in Superman comic books. But Martin Luther, the German monk. The one who sparked the Protestant Reformation back in 1517. I mean, he has written about his struggles. His struggles as he was troubled by his sin. And he wondered, how can you know for sure if God accepts you? If you're good enough to be accepted by God? He specifically wrote, how can I be like Mary and have favor with God? And an answer to his prayer. God directed him to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And God spoke to him through that passage and said, For it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Because this says, your whole relationship with God is not based on your performance. It's not based on how good you are. But that he'll accept you, he'll forgive all your failures, his fears. You can be confident in going to him because it's based on his grace of God making good on his promise to rescue, to save all those who place their faith in his Messiah, Jesus, his son. According to King David in Psalm 84, 9, because Jesus is the favored one. He's the graced one. So when God looks upon you and you have faith in Christ, he sees you as his favored one. And this is the insight, this is the truth that Martin Luther discovered, that Mary had discovered centuries before. What Mary knew, the promise that God gives, regardless of who you are, you can be God's favored one the moment you place your faith in Jesus. Whose very name reassured Mary. When I told her in verse 31, you'll be with child, you'll give birth to a son, you're to give him the name Jesus. She knew that name, Jesus, means Yahweh saves. That was like a proof positive that Jesus would save her and save others from sin and death. And that's what it teaches in the New Testament. Place your trust in Jesus' death on the cross as a penalty you confess you deserve for your sins, and you will be saved. But that wasn't the only promise that I gave Mary as I visited with her. I also gave her what I call the Emmanuel guarantee. The Emmanuel guarantee that God is always with you in Jesus. That's what the name Emmanuel means. It means God is with us. But before you say, Gabe, I read that passage, I listened carefully. I didn't hear you use the word Emmanuel. Well, it's in the prophecies of the Old Testament. It's repeated in Matthew 1, verse 23, where it says the virgin will be with child. He'll give birth to a son. They'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And if you look carefully at verse 28, I parallel that and saying the Lord will be with you, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. And that's a pretty great promise, isn't it? That in Jesus, God is always with you. You know, it's like your pastor, Pastor Jerry here, he tells a story of when he was in the fifth grade. In his school, they had special education students. And there was one particular boy. He was about as old as you can get and still in school, 18 or 19 years of age. The rest of us were just fifth grade age. But that boy, he came from a poor family. And as cold weather came one winter, he didn't have any gloves for his hands. And one of your pastor's classmates gave him a pair of gloves. And that boy, he was slow in learning, great big giant of a boy. He was so appreciative from that day forward. He shadowed that fifth grader who'd given him those gloves. Everywhere he went on the playground and whenever he could in the hallways of the school to make sure no one would ever pick on his friend. Well, God never promises to be your physical bodyguard like that. But that's the sense of God always being with you. God is with you. And that's a promise since Jesus is God that he repeated to his disciples. In Matthew 28, 20, he says, and surely I am with you always. Meaning once you place your faith in Jesus, you have God with you and he always will be. Through stress, through sickness, through conflict, through confusion, through failures, through frustration, through despair, and even death itself. As Romans 8:39 promises, there's nothing in all of creation that can ever separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And that's what I call the Emmanuel guarantee. You invite Jesus into your life and you'll never be alone. God will be with you, direct your steps, give you the power you need as you need it to live life. And this is why Mary didn't tell me no. When I told her what God's amazing assignment was for her life, she didn't come up with excuses. You know, this isn't the right time. You know, this just isn't the right place. Joseph, I don't know that he's the right husband. She didn't come up with any of those excuses. She said yes. If God was with her and she knew, she'd be able to deal with all those people who would wonder why she'd gotten pregnant outside of wedding, outside of her marriage. She knew that when God was with her, she'd be able to deal with Joseph and he wouldn't have her stoned for her seeming adultery because he knew he wasn't the father. And though she could only just begin to understand how she could ever become pregnant without Joseph and how she was ever going to be the mother of the Messiah. Well, the mother of her Savior and yours and the world's. The moment I told her, nothing is impossible with God. That's when she took a deep breath and she looked me right in the face and she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She was only a young girl, but she put her complete trust in God. How about you? God sent me to tell you, he knows life is stressful, but he wants you to know his grace, his favor is yours the moment you place your faith in Jesus. His grace to be able to overcome whatever pain, whatever problems you might be in the midst of tonight. Maybe it's in needing a job. Maybe you're dealing with a health issue. Maybe it's dealing with a grown child who never calls or never visits. Maybe you're hurting over the loss of a loved one, stretched over a strained marriage, whatever it is, as you turn your heart to Him, you'll experience His grace. His grace as you accept His gift of Jesus. And you'll find He's with you at the very center of your pain to help you each step of the way, regardless of the pain that Mary had in seeing her son go to the cross. It was far outweighed by the joy she knew and experienced in living out God's plan for her life. The question is that what you want too? Whatever's happening in your life, whatever you may sense God calling you to do, will you join Mary in telling God, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Or will you stay stuck on just a Christmas Jesus? I gotta fly, but before I do, let's pray.